No, I'm sorry, but I think a Price is Right analogy is very appropriate right now. They're telling me that I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't use the Price is Right to illustrate such glorious truths, but I am going to do it because I am Martin Zender. I do things like this. Welcome to the Thursday edition of MZTV. I'm here in Studio One in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, detailing for you the freedom that we have in Christ. And the last thing I want is for people to take that freedom away from you. I don't want you to be seduced into bondage. And believe me, it is so easy to get seduced because the bondage meisters, the purveyors of religious bondage, they got all the tricks up their sleeve, the collective sleeve. They woo you in with music. They promise you a standing in the organization. They tell you what wonderful gifts you have. You can be of great use to this organization. They flatter the heck out of you. They say that it's a great call, and they lure you in, and then the next thing you know, you're going around telling people that you better overcome your sin or God won't like you. I said I was going to use a Price is Right analogy, and I am. The circumcision gospel can be said this way. This can be yours. Try to picture a carrot on a string. This can be yours if the price is right. Yeah. If you obey our protocols, if you follow Jesus, if you do what Jesus did, this can be yours. Whereas the uncircumcision gospel is this. I love this. Why not? I wrote it. The price was right. It was already right. The price was right. And the price was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Look what you now have. That's the gospel. That's the gospel right there. The price was right. We point to something that happened 2,000 years ago and we say the price was right. Look what you now have. That's the gospel. It's not this hanging a carrot in front of you, shaming you, challenging you. No wonder people are walking around like Eeyore. Oh my God, I'll never be good enough. No, you never will be good enough. If you think that God's waiting for you to clean up your act before he gives you the showcase, before you win a trip to Tahiti and a car. Anyone who has been chosen by God, talking about members of the body of Christ now, anyone who's been chosen by God and designated beforehand for membership in the body of Christ will, at some point during the course of his or her life, in this life, they will hear and they will heed the truth. It's simple as that. You will hear the truth. You won't accept lies. Why? Because you were designated beforehand. The truth will be, oh, Martin, he's a prophet. He's telling us what's going to happen. Yes, I am telling you that the truth will be presented to those destined beforehand for this calling. It will be presented to them because they must hear it and they will hear it. There's no way they can't hear it. And there's no way they can't accept it. Some people accuse me of putting the cart before the horse, saying that, oh, Martin says you have to believe certain things in order to come into this calling of the body of Christ. No, Martin Zender says this, that if you are designated beforehand, before the disruption of the world, to be in this calling, you will believe right things. You won't believe lies. I got a verse for you on that, Romans 8, 29 through 30. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son, for him to be firstborn among many brethren. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. Do you see a process here? How in the world could this be construed as a challenge to faith? If anything, it's a challenge to God to fulfill what he determined beforehand to accomplish. If there's any challenge whatsoever here, it's God. It's on God's shoulders. It's not on you, it's on him. It's like, okay, God, you designated these people beforehand. What are you going to do about it? God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to call them. And then I'm going to justify them. I'm going to give them a message of justification. Which message, however, in addition, that you won't hear that message in the Israel gospel, justification. I wrote about this in my newsletter. By the way, I write a newsletter. It's called the ZWTF. Go to martinzetter.com. Scroll down the left-hand side of the page. You will see ZWTF archives. I wrote a recent newsletter on justification. This is being declared righteous. You don't hear this in Israel because they're still struggling for forgiveness. If this sounds interesting to you, like, what's it? I didn't know there was a difference between being forgiven and being justified. Oh, there's a huge difference. Being forgiven says you did wrong, but we're going to pretend you didn't, and we're going to overlook the penalty. Justification says you didn't even do wrong. What? Go to ZWTF. So this is a challenge to God to fulfill what he determined beforehand to accomplish. Now, if a member of the body of Christ, who's been designated eons before their birth, is not acquainted in this lifetime with his or her call, then the failure is God's, not the person's. This is so great. You never hear this. You never hear of people putting responsibility on God's shoulders. It's always on the human. I'm telling you what, if you put responsibility on the human's shoulders and you're looking for some stupendous act on the part of a human, you're going to be discouraged your entire life, personally and corporately, looking at the human race. Oh my God, what a mess, what a disaster. But if you put this responsibility on God's shoulders, not only to call the members of the body of Christ that he has designated beforehand, but make him responsible for the entire race. If one son or daughter of Adam fails to return to God in the fullness of time, then God's the failure. Moses knew that much. When God threatened to destroy Israel, Moses says, don't do it for your own namesake. This is going to make you look really bad, God. You're going to destroy Israel? What, you called this people out of the wilderness? Now they're dancing around a golden calf and you're having a hissy fit and you're going to destroy them? But see, God did this in order to draw this sentiment out of Moses. It's like, don't do it because you're going to look bad. You're responsible for this people. You started, what, you're not going to finish it? You're going to get frustrated and wipe them out? It's the same here. The success or failure of any spiritual enterprise rests on the shoulders of God, not on the shoulders of humanity. And again, this works on our little stage here as members of the body of Christ. God will call, will justify, will glorify someone he has designated beforehand. He will. And if he doesn't, he failed. God sent Christ to undo the works of the devil. Undo them. If he doesn't undo them, it's his fault. If some people end up for eternity under the thrall of the devil, then God screwed up because he said he came to undo the works of the devil. God sent Jesus Christ to undo the works of Adam, to justify all those that Adam condemned. If this mission fails, it's on God. What's God going to do?
Well, I would have done it, but that person died. What am I going to do? They decided not to love me. My hands are tied.
But you said you were going to bring, you promised that you're the savior of all humanity.
Yes, but I had no idea that humanity would be this stubborn. They pulled a fast one on me. They threw me a curveball. Just couldn't hit it. Sender, sorry.
You're sorry, all right. But that's the God of Christianity. That's a false God. I just love putting this responsibility on God. God, by the way, controls every circumstance of life. How's God going to make sure that somebody's called? How's he going to make sure that they hear the message? Ephesians 1:11 says that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. He controls every circumstance. So I'm pretty sure that God can arrange things so that someone whom he has designated beforehand will come into contact with someone who he has given the message to previously, and they will meet somewhere fortuitously, and the person who has already gotten the evangel will pass it along. But this is how God does it. He sends messengers with the evangel, sandaled with the evangel of peace. Happy are the feet of those who bring a tiding of good. And he sends them to people whom he designates beforehand. Once again, I don't see how I'm going to top this thought today. I was going to go on here because the next point is pretty juicy concerning the law. But it is God, ladies and gentlemen, who is responsible for his own creation. This sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like a given. It sounds like it doesn't even need to be said. But unfortunately, it does. Because we have an entire religion who has put responsibility for salvation on human shoulders. But as the psalmist said, and I agree with this, because the psalmist said it under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, salvation from a human is futile.